Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. Great to be back with you on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, back from Arizona. I leave, J.J. Watt shows up. That's just how it goes. Big thanks to Elijah and Damon and, of course, Will Wilson. We are loaded up, man. Going to be a good couple of weeks with baseball gets rolling for Nebraska. You have state girls and boys basketball. No show for us tomorrow. We'll have a doubleheader of opening round girls Class A action. Pius and Lincoln Southwest on our radar. Lincoln East as well. Five area teams here in eastern Nebraska in Lincoln where we're based out of. So that's kind of how the week looks. Some football to get into. Plenty of basketball as it is March, and I love seeing social media light up with memorable NCAA tournament moments. We are, man, just 2 weeks from the tournament starting on Thursday. And, of course, you're home for the NCAA tournament, ESPN Lincoln, and some of our affiliates also with your Westwood One tournament coverage. So back at it. Elijah, you doing all right? I got a little bit of tan. I lost probably about five or six golf balls. There was a lot of Templeton Rye, drank, spent time with mom, spent time with my brother, spent time with grandma, spent time with my dad's golf buddies, and really just we got the grill fired up. It was mid-70s and just fantastic. I drove her. We hit a couple of different spots to go get large quantities of meat. And everywhere around the region we were getting grub, I mean, you just had all these Cleveland Indian banners because we're not far from their spring training. We're not far from the Royals' spring training. So it's a good setup. Did you enjoy yourself? You're back on Monday. You didn't just, you know,
up and quit.
You just didn't stop showing up.
Yeah, no, it was great weather in Lincoln. Not as great as Arizona, obviously, but good enough. I could get outside. Powered on caffeine at the end of last week. Just, yeah, can't complain.
And this week, we should, with everyone descending on PBA, you know, it's going to be nice enough to turn the grill on, I think.
Yeah.
We're going to have 50s and 60s, and the rail yard will be the rail yard again. We may post up down in the rail yard here this week as well.
Yeah, we talked with Greg on Friday. He said he was throwing burgers on the grill this weekend.
Of course he was.
I didn't get my grill fired up, but made some fried chicken at home. That was pretty good.
Ooh.
Yeah, the key is you got to go for the boneless, skinless chicken thighs. Stay away from the breast. Stay away from all that. Just fry up the chicken thighs.
No. And I'm sure your fried chicken's phenomenal. But to do fried chicken, you've got to have bone in. You've got to have and my mom knows how to do it, but like the normal fried chicken, you know, if you make it at home, you have that old family double secret recipe versus going and getting a bucket somewhere. You've got to have the bone. That's what makes fried chicken, that and the skin.
But the boneless, skinless chicken thighs is versatile. I can take this fried chicken, and I can put it on a sandwich if I want, or
you can go Nashville hot.
I can go Nashville hot, or I can just eat it as it is. It's versatile, but I think the next step, as I've heard, you got to get MSG. I've heard that's the key.
Yeah, MSG, yes, you do.
there's like the whole scare tactic against MSG, and like part of me is just like a little bit concerned, but I've heard like once you try it, you never want to go back.
Well, here's the other thing, and this will change your life.
Okay.
Get your grill fired up. You cook it low and slow, and you do a bone-in chicken breast.
Okay.
And you just enjoy. You've had beer can chicken, right?
Yeah, where you put the chicken on like the beer can, right. And yeah.
There's just a difference with the bone-in chicken, fried or beer can.
Okay.
It is life-changing.
Well, I know
it's as good as your versatility and the boneless thigh idea is, the bone-in is immaculate.
Okay, well, I'm firmly a bone-in guy on a steak. The bone-in makes a steak better. Sure. I haven't like gone actually and compared side to side on my chicken. Maybe I need to. But bone-in's the way to go. Got it.
Dan tweets in, boneless and skinless chicken, that's a fireable offense for F's sake. You got, trust me, we'll have a...
I'm not sure my waistline can afford the skin.
Dude, I don't know how much weight I put on. I'm fat and happy. I don't care. Jay Moore's coming up here in about 20 minutes. We will talk some pending spring ball thoughts with Jay Bird. His take on yesterday as golf paid tribute to Tiger with a red out on Sunday. And speaking of red, J.J. Watt finding his way to the desert. We will get into some football thoughts with Charlie McBride. On our mind, though, is the news that came out around 9 this morning. Teddy Buckets, Teddy Allen, no longer part of Nebraska basketball. And what's your reaction? 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. And where are you at as a Nebraska fan? It's been frustrating. Just case in point, we're all watching Saturday's game as Nebraska had it, then lost it, and then hung on. And there's been so many instances where Nebraska maybe could have a couple, three more wins. Okay, I look at what Fred has assembled from an athleticism standpoint and just an ability to be bigger, stronger, quicker, faster. Just the athlete that's on the court, right? You look at a guy like McGowan's. That dude's an insane athlete. He's like Westbrook, okay? I mean, just as explosive and quick twitch as he is. You look at Andre and how limited he has from a history of basketball. But damn, he's got hands. He's got size. I look at Lat, and the guy's a really nice stretch body that can catch and shoot. I've seen Banton kind of bounce back. Kobe can go microwave off the bench for Nebraska. So there are guys that are talented enough to win in the Big Ten. They've not done a lot of it. They've not done a lot of it the last 2 years. It's been very frustrating with some of the JUCOs that have not panned out. And you knew it was going to be a gamble with Teddy Allen. What was Teddy going to do? Teddy's had a lot of swings at the plate and a lot of opportunity, okay? And his history is well documented. I remember covering Teddy's state championship team in 17 with NET in Boys Town. Listen, there's been a lot of people in... Sorry, still battling some lung stuff. There's been a lot of people in Teddy's life that have hosed him, okay? And there's a lot of people in Teddy's life that have reached down to help him up and prop him up. And there's a lot of people that have given him an extra chance. And I look at this as Teddy Allen's departure as more of a not if but when. Right. Did you ever, as a Nebraska basketball fan, feel that this thing was going to work out and this was going to be a happy ending, a ride off into the sunset? I'll say this about Teddy Allen. His decision making, his shot selection, and his playmaking got better. It wasn't a black hole where he'd catch and shoot every single time or force something for an offensive foul. It got better. Was it perfect? No. But he got better. He got more teammates involved. Then he went for 41. And that was after a benching. You saw him respond the right way. You saw him hit the game winner against Penn State. And then he's pulled, and then he plays 10 minutes in a win.
Yeah, when you look at Teddy, it's just, I feel like sometimes the ball moves better when he's off the court. Are you with me on that?
No, you're right. Forgive me. I'm dealing with a tickle, so...
Not COVID, right?
No, it's not. I promise you, but...
I'm staying well away from you today.
No, it absolutely you hear the old saying, addition with subtraction, or by subtraction. And honestly, I mean, he got better, but it still wasn't perfect. And I think Teddy got disengaged, didn't play but 10 minutes in a win, and said peace out. And that's been his history with four different programs. And if you're Nebraska, you really got to ask yourself, how stable is this thing going to be if he comes back for another year, when you've got McGowans and McGowans, and you've got an offense that is all space and pace, and you've got talent versus fit, and the talent is a guy that can go get you buckets at a high volume. The fit is a whip the ball around the horn, find the open guy, hit the shot. And if we need to go isolation, good, you can go do that. But I think when push came to shove, Elijah, he was sick of seeing his playing time diminish. Nebraska was sick of seeing the same forced moments. It was just time to part ways.
Yeah, and I discussed it last week on the show. Like, his role when he came into Nebraska was to be the guy that whenever the rest of the team couldn't get a bucket, he could step in, get a bucket, get the offense sparked. And it felt like if he wasn't in his rhythm, if he wasn't dropping 41 points in a game, he wasn't going to be that guy you could turn to go get a bucket. And he wasn't that against Minnesota. He wasn't that ever since that Penn State 41-point performance. The ball stuck in his hands, and it just felt like he had confidence when he shouldn't have had confidence after a 41-point game. And I think that's what led to him not having minutes against Minnesota, and that's what led to his unhappiness.
The guy went 6 points, 7 points, 41 points, and 0 points his last four games. And I have two lasting images from Teddy. One, the game winner against Penn State, where he races off the court by himself versus celebrating with his teammates. You finally get that first Big Ten win. It's him running off the court by himself. No one's following him. And then I have the other image of him and McGowans and Fred Gronk spiking his mask at the end of the Illinois game, where, like, Teddy wouldn't roll, and Teddy was given an opportunity with the same play with the pick and roll and then the three that was shot and not hit. Who did they lose to the other night at home?
Before Minnesota?
Yeah.
Oh,
Penn State.
Yeah.
Yes, Penn State, end of the game.
Yeah, you should have the second win, yeah, against Penn State, really.
And it was the same play that was drawn up against Illinois. This time it was a give and go for Trey to get the look.
Mm-hmm.
That was botched horribly at the end of regulation against Illinois. So Teddy was better that second time. But this thing was always unstable, and I hope that Teddy Allen gets his degree. I hope he has success in life. I hope he plays pro ball at some level, because he is super talented.
You're discussing lasting memories. My lasting memory of Teddy Allen is the fact that Fred Hoiberg had a guy in the boat in Donovan Williams who he let go by the wayside because he was busy courting Teddy Allen and trying to get Teddy Allen to come to Nebraska, when Teddy Allen gave us not even a full season of inconsistent performances.
Let's go to that for a second. That's been brought up.
Mm-hmm.
You're close with Donovan. We've enjoyed covering Donovan. Donovan's down at Oklahoma State. Donovan's a guy that didn't like Teddy coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that's a situation where we either kind of go compete, or if you're going to go to Oklahoma State, you're going to go to Oklahoma State with Cunningham. I mean, so far it's looking really good with Donovan's choice.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I don't know how many minutes he's getting down there, but you're on a winning team, and you're on a team that, assuming that they get out of this NCAA tournament deal, NCAA probation deal, they can go play in the postseason, right? I mean, they play Oklahoma tonight. And if they can get in, they could do some damage. I mean, I think they're a team that's in. I just don't know for sure not whether they're allowed postseason. this year, if they pushed it off UNLV style. But with Nebraska and Teddy Allen, I mean, you knew that this thing could come crashing down. You wish Teddy the best, but your reaction, there's some Nebraska fans that are like, well, good, about time. I'm not quite there, but I've not heard the, oh, no, the sky is falling take because it's been so volatile.
I haven't heard anybody who's too surprised.
No, you knew it was going to happen. You just didn't know when it was going to happen. And if you're Nebraska, you've got a game against Iowa looming. You have Rutgers tonight. You have Northwestern. And then you have the finish with the Big Ten tournament. And then you got to kind of recalibrate and reset because you've got athletes to win. But Teddy's been part of that basketball IQ problem on the team. And they got to get better. They got to get smarter as a basketball team. You've got talent coming in. But Nebraska basketball fans can't take much more of 5-20 or 5-18 or whatever it is. Fred's a good coach. Okay, Fred's a really good coach. Fred knows offense. Fred's system's great, and you saw that system finish the right way with the way they were able to move the ball. And I don't know, they're getting the right athletes. They just got to get guys that are better locked in with their decision making. Teddy had a problem with that at times. Wish him well, not a surprise. Jay Moore's on the way with Hail Varsity.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you at Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I've got 4,000 pounds of gunk in my desk, but no cough drops. So we're going to roll the dice and pray that Jay Moore brings a bottle of whiskey or bourbon or something to help the coughing fits. We say hi to Jay Moore at JayMoore44 on Twitter. Bird, can you help me out? Either alcohol or a cough drop. You choose.
Well, I don't have any cough drops. I got plenty of booze, though. It's kind of like, you know, I only came here to do two things, right?
I'm out of
some water, chew some gum, and I'm all out of gum.
As I say, you're out of cough drops, right?
Yeah, I'm out of cough drops.
That's pretty good. Jay, good to spend some time with you. There's a lot to get to. You're a big golfer. You're a really talented golfer. What did Sunday in red mean to you as a golfer?
Yeah, obviously the news, was it last Thursday, I believe, or I can't remember, almost a week ago, that was tough to hear. But to see the support that the guys are going to give, they give Tiger, knew that was going to happen. I mean, the PGA Tour is at a level now just because of Tiger. You know, back in the day, you know, winners got $500,000. Now winners are getting, add $1 million to that. You know, I don't know what Colin Morikawa just got this last week, but I'm sure it was 1.3 to 1.5 million. I mean, that's those purses that they're playing for nowadays is all because of Tiger Woods and television money and sponsors and you get on the list. So, yeah, the guy's been through, it's been such a high and lows for him here in the last, 10 years, the marriage issues, and then, comes back and plays really well. It was, PGA Tour Player of the Year, I think, in 2013. Then obviously back issues, and then wins the Masters, and then has more back issues, and, has this car accident. And he's still unsure of what happened, but first and foremost, you're just glad he's all right. And first and foremost, Tiger is a parent, and he has two young kids, and so you want him to be around so he can be a parent. The golf thing, it is what it is. He can never play golf the rest of his life, that's fine, but he sure want to be around to be a parent. So that's great. But the support you saw from, everybody, I mean, hell, even Phil Mickelson was dressed in red and black. So that was a cool ordeal, and, hopefully he's, he has some golf in his future, but, if he doesn't, he's, first and foremost, he can still be around to be a good dad.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at JayMoore44 on Twitter is where you find him. Blackshirt Husker, NFLer, and golfer. Jay, let's switch gears to the NFL. J.J. Watt, $31.5 million, two-year deal with Arizona, 23 guaranteed. J.J. Watt is going to be asked to do what? What does his impact need to be in Arizona?
Well, Arizona's had some good guys come in there and play, you know, and Calais Campbell comes to mind. You know, really good dominant defensive lineman. You know, they got the offense kind of going with, you know, Murray and, you know, they got Hopkins down there now. So they just got to get some more help on defense. And it's funny, you know, he was about to make 17.5, I think, this year with Houston, and now he's kind of got a pay raise to be in a way better of a city, in my opinion, and you know, in a team that's, you know, they're on the rise. You know, Arizona was halfway decent this year. I think they finished 8-8, I believe. But you know, that's a team, and they got a good young coach there, and so he's just going to come in, and they're not going to tell him to do anything different. You know, J.J. Watt can play about any position on the defensive line, so just keep doing what you've been doing, you know, make the high level, high energy plays, you know, do all that stuff, and just keep what you've been doing for the last, you know, decade or, you know, 8 years. I can't remember how long he's been in the league, but just keep doing your thing, man, and then, you know, you're going to be on a more successful team and have a chance to compete in the NFC West and play for a championship. So that's all the guy can ask for. And who knows how many more years he has. You know, you play 10-plus years on D-line is asking a lot.
Jay, what do you believe the fire alarm alert is like for the Russell Wilson and Seattle smoke? Is it a one alarm? Is it a four alarm? What do you believe is going on with Russell? Do you think he's trying to force his way out? Look, he's seen where Watson's frustrated. You see moves that they got Stafford and he got out of jail finally in Detroit. What do you think's really behind the scenes with Seattle?
Yeah, I think he wants some input. You know, I think I said this on this radio show before, I listened to a lot of Dan Patrick in the morning, and he's always on his show a lot, and that one, you know, he wants input. I think he wants his input to be heard. I think he wants help. You know, I think he's about to, on the Dan Patrick reference, how he's on pace to be the most sacked QB in NFL history. And that's, I mean, for a guy that's pretty mobile and does a good job getting the ball out of his hands, you know, that's, I would never guess that Russell Wilson's on pace to be the most sacked QB in history. So I think he wants help. He wants to draft some offensive linemen. You know, I think that's what he wants, and he's not getting it. And so there's some frustration there, but there's, you know, when you listen to interviews and you can always hear kind of underlying tones and you know, ways, you know, passive aggressiveness in some ways of saying things. So that's an interesting situation. Again, he's done so much for that franchise and won, you know, played for, you know, won a Super Bowl, you know, lost a Super Bowl, you know, is always first or second NFC West every year. You know, it's just, can he get enough help around him? I just don't know if he's getting that. And I don't know if his voice is getting heard enough. He doesn't like that. And, I mean, you start dealing with these elite-level quarterbacks, you know, the Russell Wilsons, the Tom Bradys, you know, you go down the list that they know what they're doing, and they want some, you know, they want the reins to be given to them. They want control. And, I mean, look what happens when you get Brady to control down in Tampa Bay. Boom, they win a Super Bowl. You know, so I think Pete Carroll's kind of could be, I imagine he might have a little bit of an ego, and the GM probably has a little bit of an ego up there because they've had a lot of success, and he wants some help, a little bit more control. And if he's not going to get it, then, you know, then go somewhere where you can, and you have a little more input, and you're valued a little bit more. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. They haven't had a new quarterback there in a long time. And Russell stayed fairly healthy most of his career. So that's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out.
Jay, you mentioned Russell Wilson's being on pace to be the most sacked quarterback in NFL history. And when you look at like these mobile quarterbacks in the NFL, some of them are just magicians, like Patrick Mahomes' ability to get out of trouble. But do you think that sometimes these mobile quarterbacks can hurt themselves by leaving the safety of the pocket and, you know, putting themselves into danger away from their offensive linemen, and that's why you're seeing like numbers like Russell Wilson getting sacked this much?
Yeah, they just tend to hang on the ball a little too long. That's just, they try to make something out of nothing too much. And whereas, you know, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the not as mobile, you know, they knew they just will throw it away. If they can extend it, they will. But if nothing's there, they'll they'll chuck it into the, you know, the first or second row. But Russell has, that's been kind of his downfall, is he just tries to take to hang on to it a little too long, and then you kind of either you end up running out of bounds for a sack, or you know, you make a bad decision. But yeah, it's just all it comes down to. It's just a lot of those athletic guys, they try to make something out of nothing. And a lot of times, you know, you when they do it, you know, i.e. Patrick Mahomes or whoever, you're like, holy smokes, that was incredible. But then it's like, you know, and then they hang on the ball too long and they throw it across their body and they get it intercepted, or they do take a sack and it's a fumble. So, yeah, you know, he's exceptional. He's one of the best to ever play and one of the best to ever play in Seattle. It's just if there's a knock, it's you know, maybe just hanging on the ball too long. That's all it is.
Jay Moore's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine and his podcast, More to It. You can find Jay on Twitter at JayMoore44. Jay, if you're betting, and we're going to get into this next segment, but are you more optimistic about football turning it around or basketball turning it around first? And I know the correct answer is take another shot, Schmidt. But in all seriousness, you know, you've seen the ups and downs of hoops, and then you've seen the hype and missteps of football. So if you were to say which team contends first, which one is it?
To me, it's football. I think football is a lot closer than basketball. I mean, both conferences are really, really good in football and basketball, but the Big Ten is just brutal in basketball. I mean, you could have three teams potentially make the Final Four this year in the Big Ten. It's, you know, and it's just every year it's just a ringer, you know, with Michigan, Michigan State, you know, Illinois being good, and Wisconsin, and, you know, Northwestern's, you know, can be hit or miss some years, and Indiana and Purdue, and it's just, it's a grind where, you know, the football team, I think, is closer. They just got to clean some stuff up. You know, they should have won a few more games here the last couple of years, but, you know, some special teams issues have cost them, and that can be fixed. You know, it's some more attention to detail, some more better in-game situation coaching, and you know, just understanding what to do a little better when you get in those situations, those close games. And I think, you know, I don't know if Frost has been in a ton of those situations yet. Yeah, obviously he's been in, you know, at Nebraska, but before, so he's learning as well. So I would lean more towards Nebraska football competing than basketball. They got, you know, although, you know, Nebraska will get McGowan's coming in next year, it'll be interesting to see how one guy, now that's the one thing with basketball, one guy can make a world of difference. Now, that doesn't really happen in football. You need a really good O-line and a really good D-line to make things happen and get over that hump. So I still lean football, you know, with going into, you know, year four with Coach Frost. And I just think, like I said, they're closer than what it seems. But again, you know, special teams and kind of just making better decisions in game situations and taking, you know, getting the offense going. But I'll lean football on that one.
20 seconds. Not shocked or shocked about Teddy Allen saying peace out?
Not shocked. There's obviously something issues. I mean, he didn't play a couple weeks ago, then, you know, scores 41 and what, only scores 5 points and hardly plays against Minnesota. So not shocked. I mean, that guy has some he has some history of being at other places. So not, it's a little obviously interesting how it all played out with two games left, but yeah, not shocked at all, and just kind of move on and, you know, play these last two games and play the Big Ten tournament and then, you know, get ready for next year.
Jay Moore's with us. Jay, we'll do this again. Thanks for jumping on with us, bud. Good to chat.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. We'll dive into that conversation. You betting football or basketball? Hail Varsity continues.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
So let's dive into this when it comes to optimism about two of your favorite programs that have caused you some wear and tear. That's football, that's basketball. Will Bolton crew get going here end of the week? And there's excitement for Husker baseball. And, you know, volleyball's elite, right? And Coach Williams has Husker women's basketball more times than not right there. So there are good programs at Nebraska. 466-377-6800-825-5865. But as a Nebraska fan, where are you putting your money at, right? Elijah and I do a steak and a beer bet every Friday, and we'll pick some games out. But where are you more optimistic? Do you think basketball turns things around before football? You know, this is year two for the mayor, and it's been tough to watch at times, but you've also seen some improvement. You're going into year four with football, and you've seen Nebraska play in a lot of close games that could have gone either way, right? We've detailed them quite a bit, and you see a really good ball game against Penn State where they win, and then they are stuck on that, and they get rocked by Illinois. And you know, the 2021 schedule is what it is. So where are you putting your money? Which team, I guess, competes and contends? And Jay Moore, bless his heart, says, you know, I think football's closer, and it's not easy. Let me make that point 1,000% crystal clear. It's not easy in either. But I think if you get the right guy, because it's you know, 5-on-5 for basketball, I think you can do it quicker in basketball. But I think there's been missteps when it comes to who they've brought in, and that's been tough. Last year's JUCOs, no. Some of the JUCOs this year, some have worked, some get it, some are getting better. And then you just had Teddy Allen leave. So what's the end of this season look like? And I think you can say with a straight face, okay, you got rid of Allen, you've got McGowan's waiting, and you've got a good core coming back that if they do what Fred says in space and pace and pass the ball and find the open guy and defend, right? I mean, defensively, Doc's had those guys on point a lot of the year. Can they quit turning the freaking ball over 17 times a game or playing human bowling where you're driving 1-on-4 for an offensive foul? Can you be disciplined with your shot selection when you tie a game? They've shown incredible resolve. The basketball team has, okay? They've shown incredible resolve. They've battled back. They've gone to work every day. And they should have a few more wins than they do. They have the talent to compete. From a football standpoint, I think you've got some really nice guys in the secondary. I'm impressed by the front seven, right? Offensively, you're wondering, you think the offensive line can come together with their schedule? I think, like, best case scenario, you're talking 7 wins next year. And I think you'd take that. But there's a lot of similarities between football and basketball with they're their own worst enemy on a given day in a given game, because they're the ones that are hurting themselves more so than the opponent doing you in. It's not trying to go dunk over Mutombo or Alonzo Mourning for basketball. They're throwing the ball out of bounds 12 times in the first half. For football, guess what? It's 3rd and 8. Someone misses a block. Adrian strip sacked the ball game. Or there's a holding call, right? Or there's no flower consistently offensively. See, the defense makes steps. So I'm interested. If I'm going to bet, I'm going to bet basketball. And the way this year started, the way they started out in Big Ten play, and I'm not caught up in the glow of a win over Little Patino. I just think there's some things that I really think Hoiberg's a smart coach. I think he knows what he's doing. I think he'll tweak who he's bringing in. He'll have to. I mean, he'll have to go more high school because, I mean, you're so-so on the JUCO gets. Some have worked, some haven't. Some have gotten better, some haven't. From a Nebraska football standpoint, what am I going to get next year? Am I going to get more sloppiness? Am I going to get a team that's tough? Am I going to get better quarterback play? Am I going to get better running game production? I think the defense is okay. They can get better. They're not going to be 0-9, but they'll be fine. But I'm betting basketball. Maybe that's crazy. Maybe that's recency by me. But I just think I got a better head coach right now in basketball than I do in football. End of discussion. That's what I've seen. And I know it's apples to oranges with sport and numbers and all that good stuff. I think there's a incredible strength and conditioning on football. I think you've got some winners in Teote and Fisher, and I think Bill Bush coming on is nice. I like Jay and Peter coming on board. I think that's huge, right, from the inner workings for the football program. I think Greg Austin's a good coach. I think Ryan Held can find backs, and I think Lubick knows his football, right? What's my management look like with football right now? That's been up and down. You've not seen the progress on the court, but I think my management's been okay. Roster-wise, no, you've missed it at times, but you've had to go try and get talent, right? It's chicken or egg. Do I go get talent, or do I go try and get this talent developed? Either way, you're 5-17, unless you really hit it out of the park and you land a Fab Five class. Chris, thanks for hanging on. Welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
Hey, Schmitty. Obviously neither one of them is a blink away from...
No, I mean, it's still a waiting game still, right?
Yeah, so I'd say for all the reasons that you laid out perfectly, I'm in line with you here. So gun to my head, I'd say basketball too, just because I get that the competition in the conference can be a little steeper, but yet I think the hill is a shorter climb because of if you get two guys in here that can be giant difference makers. There's more of an impact on the court than there is on the football field. So
agree, and you know about the lines of scrimmage that Jay kind of detailed. I mean, that doesn't happen overnight, man. It's probably a steeper hill in football. The other side of this, too, and it's not an excuse for basketball, you finish eighth in the Big Ten, you're going to the tournament, right, in most years. So, and Fred's shown the ability to get some pretty high-level athletes in. They just got to play better. They got to make shots, clearly, but they got to play smarter, right? And that goes for football, too, you know?
For sure. I mean, what is a common theme amongst both of them is that they hurt themselves more than, you know, than they're being beat by the other team, you know, so.
No, absolutely. Chris, good to hear from you, brother. Thanks for calling. Yeah, and, you know, Nebraska likes hurting themselves so much, they've got a leather wrestling mask and a dog chain in their basement.
We had Ron calling a little bit ago. He didn't come on the air, but he just said, like, the effect of one player. He's like, I can't count how many times this year I've screamed at my TV because of a bad Teddy Allen shot, and then, like, Nebraska goes on a scoring drought.
Ron's out of bourbon.
Yeah.
I love Ron.
But you can see, like, you could bring in one or two pieces to this basketball team, and with the talent that's there, you can see them making a jump, and I don't see that same one to two guys away on the football team.
I mean, think if you got freshman Adrian play. Right? And you're not turning the football over. It's not just on Adrian. There's 10 other dudes around him.
Yeah, you'd also need wide receivers to step up and get open.
Yeah, if you could find a Stanley, right, and you get a Ziggy running the ball, I like the line. But no, I think the safe bet's basketball. Quicker, sooner. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, Charlie McBride, 10 minutes away. We will spend some time with Ryan Posoda, head coach, Pius girls basketball. They're going back-to-back, trying to do so. Also, Lincoln Southwest, assistant coach Tim Berta. Don't let Tim look you in the eye and say he's not good within 100 feet with that wedge. So we'll talk to a couple of coaches as we gear up for state coverage. Pius at 1:30 tomorrow. And also Lincoln Southwest at 4. We'll be on the call for that. I'll be on the call for that. Two games for me to kick off girls state 2021. We'll hopefully be posting up down in the rail yard throughout the week at different points. So that is awesome. Reminder about moving. And West Blue Realty is the spot for you. When we talk about residential home sales in Lincoln and the surrounding communities, West Blue can make that next move just perfect for you. For a limited time, you mentioned Hail Varsity. West Blue Realty can provide you up to $1,000 on the closing of your next home purchase. Tom Luby is there for you. Tom can help out at 402-540-3768. Kelly Hofschneider. Kelly's outstanding as well. Give Kelly a ring at 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue, westbluerealty.com, 1120 K Street, Sweet 200. Got a question for you, Elijah, when it comes to school, navigating school.
Oh, man.
What did Papa Bear do to you if you had a missing assignment?
That's actually an interesting question because he treated it differently for every single child he had. So with my brother, missing assignments were threat of being grounded, get your missing assignments done, what have you. For me, nothing. He said, I trust you. If your grade at the end of the semester is still good, you're going to be fine. If it's not good, we're going to have some problems. It was always just the distant off threat. Like, I trust you. If you can get your stuff done, you can finish with a good grade in the class. I'm not going to be mad. You do your own thing. With my sister being in Zoom high school right now, she's going back to
it's
full
nuts, person, right?
But it's somewhat similar for her. But he is trying to crack down her, just being like, get your work done, get it done. And I don't know. I was never the kid who really struggled with that.
No, well, you're a smart kid, and to me, you're the guy who was pretty intellectual, so you could roll in and crush the test.
Yes.
And you may jack around a little bit with the day-to-day work. Some of us had to army crawl and grind the day-to-day to dirty the sea. Sea is for cookie. It's good enough for me. The reason I ask is I'm trying to sink a putt, and I get the email from Junior's teacher about how he's in all this diff stuff, and he's got his mom's brains, and I mean that. So he's a smart kid, but he's turned freaking lazy. Oh, I turned that in. I mean, it's the same old line of BS about what he's not turned in and what is turned in. And then we're talking, and I'm not knocking art, because art's cool and it's important, and he's not an artist. His finger paintings have sucked since he's four. But the point is he's just jerking around, and it's C-plus time, and it's not pleasant around, right? Because he's off his gaming, his mom's pissed off, and I get home, and so I'm just saying, look, dude, you're busted. You're on gaming quarantine until your art grade gets up to a C-plus, and he's always going to throw the teacher under the bus. I'm like, no, the teacher's save your ass all the time.
The big, I like the idea of taking the phone away. That's a big, get him a prepaid phone that says you can only call me or mom if you
need
us.
That's all I need is to have a burner phone. That's great. What's this? Oh, it's Junior's burner phone before he's even 15.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Thanks for hanging out. It's hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. No show tomorrow. We have girls' state coverage, state tournament 2021. Pius trying to defend. Lincoln Southwest will hook up with Central. So we'll be on the call for that down at Pinnacle Bank Arena. We are into March, which means basketball and which means spring football around the corner. We'll have some comments from Ndamukong Suh and his sit-down with Shannon Sharp. Sue is still not happy about not winning the 09 Heisman. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie. Coach Charlie McBride joins us. Coach, thanks for the time. Good to spend some another afternoon with you. How you doing?
Oh, good. Perfect weather. We're about 5 degrees above normal.
Okay.
27 degrees, and it's probably about 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Well, it's football weather, Coach. I just got back from Arizona yesterday. Went down to see my mom, and I lost a few golf balls for you.
Good. Well, that's perfect. I got some. I'll give you. I found them on the golf course, but they're kind of old. But they're good, though.
Hey,
I got. As soon as I hang up, I got to go to take my kids. They're going back to Arizona.
Okay.
They came for the week. Two of them did.
Well, good. Good. Well, I didn't shoot that well, but I was in the sunshine, and it worked out. And then we watched a little ball and grilled some steaks. It was good. So I got to ask you, and we were talking about this last hour, with Nebraska football and with Nebraska basketball, you watch both. And if you were to pick which sport would see success quicker, which one do you think kind of turns the corner? I know Nebraska basketball just won, but they've been really close a lot of times. Just like football, right? Football's been really close, too.
Well,
and it's two different sports, I know.
Yeah, I think football's starting. I mean, it's football's turning now. I mean, already, and basketball still has a little ways to go. I mean, you know, two games, of course, it's good that they're, you know, at the end of the year, things are happening good. I know they lost one of the better players, but I look at it the same way as a lot of people do. Helpy has a good future somewhere else. That's good for him. I think that a lot of times kids play together better, you know, with each other when things like that happen as a team, you know. And but I think football's turning the corner. I think probably going to, you know, if it's not this year, I think they'll be better. But, you know, they could really blow the socks off somebody this year if they really put their minds to it.
You know, and that's just it. You can see the areas they're not far away from, way better than most people. From a confidence standpoint, let's get into that, your level of confidence. Does it start with that the lines of scrimmage, coach, for you with football?
Yeah, it always has. I mean, you know, they always laugh. If I was an offensive line coach and I had to start a team, I'd probably – you know, everybody picks their quarterback, you know, usually picks a quarterback or something like that. But, you know, I might do the same, but the second guy I pick is going to be the center. And, you know, I always figured him as the captain, you know, a little bit, and kind of put a lot of pressure on him to be a leader and things like that. Although it didn't always work out that way, let things normally happen because of things we had leaders, you know, it just worked out that they, you know, they would show, you know. And but, you know, when you have good teams, you have leaders all over the field. I mean, it's, you know, and that's what I said about all of our teams. We've always usually had a leader at each position on the field that was, you know, kind of ahead of the group. You know, as the team matured, so did your leaders.
Mm-hmm. Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I want to go back to that 97 season, and you guys had a really good 96 season, but you were working on a third straight title and just came up short, and you go win it in 97. And I've had this conversation with Grant Wistrom a few times about how hard he and Jason were on Scott. What did you see emerge from Scott leadership-wise that senior season? Because it was his turn to go. You know, the pressure he felt, and the team had a standard. But what did those guys do in kind of concert with Scott to take a step forward and be that winner they wanted to be?
Well, as you know, when Scott came in, it wasn't a big deal to any of our players. And he had to earn it, and they were going to make him earn it, and he did. And that's where I saw Scott. He took everything anybody was going to dish out, and that was the thing that made him a leader, I think. You know, and especially with those guys who were dishing it out, because they were dishing it out for a reason to see if he would fold, and he didn't. You know, so you know those things I think are really important. I think he expected it too a little bit, you know, when he came back. So it wasn't anything that was, you know, very unusual. I think there were a lot of guys there in Nebraska that felt like, you know, a little rough after Scott had walked, you know, and gone out to Stanford and so on. And, you know, there was articles in the paper that, said he had committed way before this, and of course his dad said he didn't, but there were articles that said that he did in the paper. So there was a little bit of that was being read about a little bit in the paper, and I think guys way back when he left, there was some, you know, some kind of a little bit of sour feelings, I think, maybe with some of the guys on the team that he didn't stick with the state. And, you know, and that's not unusual,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, but that, you know, kids have their own way. I mean, you can't, I've always tried to, if a kid told me he was going to go to his in-state school, I never argued that point, mm-hmm. ever. You know, I mean, if he went to some other school that I thought didn't feel right, I might say something to him about it that I didn't feel he made the right decision. But other than that, I mean, I wouldn't. If he went to the school of his choice in state, I'd never get upset with that.
Charlie McBride's with us on Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, I saw this posting, and ESPN compiled a list of like the 50 best quarterbacks in the 2000s, and they came down with their top 10 list. So the last 21 years or so. And I think Crouch came in at number 43 from a Nebraska standpoint. They had Baker Mayfield is number one. Cam Newton is number two. Vince Young at three. Tebow at four. Burrow at five. And then it kind of rounds out with Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Marcus Mariota, RG3 from Baylor. What do you say to that list? And if you're drafting, who are you putting number one?
Well, you know what some of these guys do? They look at statistics, and it's not how many games you won anymore. It's how you threw the ball. And. And, you know, look at some of those guys. They did win national championships and things like that. But, you know, that's pretty much what happens. They have, a lot of the younger people that vote on that stuff don't have any idea, you know, except by statistics. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and it would be the same in the public. I mean, if somebody would get the NCAA, you know, rule book, they'd probably find out that maybe Nebraska didn't throw the ball as much. Maybe their statistics weren't even rated in the top 50 or so, but the ground game was first.
Yeah,
you know, and but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, that's just another way of you know, saying that the game has changed and it's the passing that people love to watch the ball being thrown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it goes. But you gotta consider the weather and consider the, you know, the art of what you have to do, you know, as a offensive coach to design things that you can win with by making the, you know, most teams, if they're good, are pretty much 50-50.
Sure.
And when you look at it, they're pretty close to, you know, right down the chute. Although Florida, when we played them, was about 80% pass. I have the statistics, probably, if I had to look them up, but when we played the second half, they threw the ball once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said at the beginning, you better shit the rundown first and make them, you know, like the old saying, one-dimensional, mm-hmm. and we did. And that's what happened. That way you can tee off on them, and, you know, you can really, you know, your head is going toward the passer rather than necessarily toward the run, and you knew what the run was because it's going to be off of a pass. You know, it's going to be a draw play with them. And that was probably, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was the play that they ran. They ran a draw off our right side, and that was the end of that tune. And so they're just throwing it all over the place.
And they started throwing it to the wrong jersey, too, if I remember.
That's a bad habit to get into, too.
You know, if I'm going down this list, I take into consideration more than stats. I take into consideration championships, but I also, what did you do to the program? Did you elevate the program from 7-5, 8-4 to become a champion? And there's a couple of guys on here, right? I mean, there's more than a couple, but I look at how great LSU has been for the last X number of years, but they've always kind of been missing a quarterback, and
right.
Burrow is perfect. I look at Vince Young. Texas was always kind of going 9-3, right? They'd lose a non-conference game, they'd lose to Oklahoma, and they'd probably step on their toe in a bowl game. And then they get Vince Young. And Vince was so incredible. Cam Newton, one and done, but was great. And this is probably way against the grain, but the guy who made Clemson Clemson was Deshaun Watson. And yes, he had help around him, but he took down Alabama and Saban. And to me, that's the guy I'd probably circle. As good as Vince was, as great as Tebow was, as nice as Cam Newton was, I'd probably go with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, well, I'm not too sure I wouldn't either. I mean, one thing is when you look at teams still today in college that run the option, I mean, you know, Mayfield and some of them, all of them ran some option. And it wasn't even close. I mean, you know, we probably had the best option quarterbacks in the country.
Right.
I mean, Oklahoma, you know, it kind of dropped off toward in the 90s a little bit. But they were always a team that, if you were talking about a quarterback that could run an option and maybe not throw the ball as well, that would be Oklahoma. And we were a team that ran options and didn't throw the ball as well. We threw the ball well. But it was all, it had to be, the secondary had to be just right. And, you know, and that's what we waited for them to make a move in the secondary. And then, you know, you'd throw it and let it have it. And probably we had more touchdown passes, or at least we were in the top two in the conference in touchdown passes, and maybe last in passing. So, you know, you look at those stats and you start wondering and scratch your head. What the heck is this, you know? And so I can understand, you know, that. And the other thing, too, is I think you look at, it's hard to have a Heisman in the Middle West in reality.
Okay.
Because of the press. And, you know, when Mike Rozier got it, I thought that was a big jump for Nebraska. I know Johnny Rogers at that time, you know, was that was a big time. But college football probably to me didn't seem like it was as big then as it had gotten. You know, and how much coverage, I mean, you know, with the coverage part of it. So you worried a little bit about, you know, when a guy was up for the Heisman, if he could, you know, really, you know, if the press would even look at him very hard, rather than take a guy from the East or West.
Well, Mike Rozier is turning 60 today, which blows me away. But it's his birthday. Yeah, it's Michael Heisman's 60th. I saw that on Facebook today. Charlie McBride's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, you enjoy those warmer temperatures and the wind, all right? And it'll calm down for you.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you next week then.
That'll be great, Coach. You take care. Good to spend time with you.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Bye.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt himself, Charlie McBride. Fun chats there, and he's so right on. We're going to talk to Coach Osborne Wednesday. Excited with the day-by-day crew. Of course, that documentary that's being put out and being worked on, that is just going to be incredible. And we had a lot of fun out in Boulder with their ceremony and kind of sneak preview.
Are we going to get back into this quarterbacks topic next segment?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, because I got
you're going to call me on it?
No, I got a name that's just been left off the list, and I can't seem. I mean, he played 1 year of the 2000s.
Sure. No, that's fine.
So I think he should count. I just don't know why he's on there.
Ryan Fasota, head coach of Pius Girls, coming up. Also, Tim Berta, assistant for Southwest. 15 minutes away. It's Hail Varsity. We're presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Get set up for Girls State 2021. Some pious thoughts from Coach Pasota. Tim Berta, also assistant for Southwest, coming up. Our coverage tomorrow at 1:30 and 4. No Hail Varsity Radio tomorrow, but we'll be back on Wednesday and Thursday, and probably be getting you locked in for the semis and championship Saturday. Five area teams going to be in PBA, which will be great. So you left. I left a quarterback off the list. We were talking quarterbacks. Bill Conley put out his top 10 list of quarterbacks since the year 2000. Saw that while I was on vacation. Wanted to talk about it when I came back. And I am going Deshaun Watson with my top pick. I know Tebow won two. I know Baker was great in Oklahoma. And I know Burrow was phenomenal with great talent around him. And Cam was the best rental and investment for a year. I have no clue what's real and rumor with his payroll down at Auburn, allegedly. Who am I forgetting?
Michael Vick.
Vick played 2 years.
But, I mean, Cam pretty much only played 1 year at Auburn.
Cam did play 1 year, his junior year.
Yeah. Vick played 2 years, and he tore it up at Virginia Tech. And
he tore it up for a year.
He tore it up.
Yeah, but then he was, didn't they go like 9-3 with him in his junior year?
But this is still Virginia Tech we're talking about. Virginia Tech was bad in the 90s.
Virginia Tech wasn't, I mean, they went to an Orange Bowl to play in Nebraska in 95 with Jim Drunkenmiller.
Drunkenmiller, that was his actual name.
Yeah, and he liked to spear people with a pool cue.
But I don't know. I think
first round draft pick of the Niners.
Now, you have more experience here because you did actually get to see Michael Vick play live. I was an infant whenever Michael Vick played.
Vick.
I think he at least deserves a spot in the top 10.
Well, he was great. And here's the thing about Vick. And
you're telling me Kyler Murray deserves a spot in this list over Michael Vick?
There are no Kyler Murrays without Michael Vick. I will grant you that. And Vick's team achieved some impressive wins. I mean, they finally vanquished Miami in 99. This sticks in my craw a little bit because I was a college student. Nebraska ended up losing to Texas. But Virginia Tech got the nod as an undefeated team to go play Florida State. Florida State was whooping Virginia Tech, and then Vic personally like scored three straight touchdowns and put on an insane Sugar Bowl. Probably the best performance. You've got three bowl performances. You got Frazier against Florida. Okay, you've got Vic against Florida State. Okay, and then he had Vince Young against USC.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not in no particular order. I think you probably go Vince Young and Frazier's kind of 1-1A with the wow factor. The point is Texas had to have Vince's performance to pull off that victory.
Oh, yeah.
Nebraska also got Tommy's performance, and Nebraska wins comfortably, whether Tommy runs for 100 or 200. But the Vic performance was great. They lost. Then Vic was injured that next season a lot, like bad ankle issues. Then he went off to the NFL. Vic was awesome. I've always wanted to see Nebraska, had they not got hosed at Texas, play that Virginia Tech team or play that Florida State team. And Nebraska finished number two in the country that year in 1999, but Virginia Tech also finished two in the coaches. Nebraska finished third. But I wanted Nebraska with that defense with Steve Warren and Vandenbosch and with Mike Brown and Ralph. I wanted that defense to take on either Peter Warrick in Florida State, or I wanted that defense to take on Michael Vick to see. We should have asked McBride that, damn it. Next week, hey, what would you guys have done to Michael Vick in 1999?
I mean,
and you know,
well, is there anything you could have done?
Yeah, broke him in half. Like what happened with his junior season?
No, but I do like your Deshaun Watson take. Deshaun Watson in combination with C.J. Spiller kind of turned around that Clemson program.
Think about it. I mean, Taj Boyd was good. Taj Boyd was playoff good, but you've got Deshaun, who got there. They finally beat Bama. They almost go 2-0 against Bama. And Watson's just a winner. Let's skip out to our conversation here with Ryan Pasota. Pius Basketball trying for back-to-back champions. Back into it. Hail Varsity Radio. We're previewing State 2021. We welcome in head coach for Pius the 10th girls and Coach Ryan Pasota back with us. Coach, how we been?
We've been busy. We've been getting ready for a shortened approach to state tournament. So start on a Tuesday instead of a Thursday. So we've been busy.
I bet. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. Let's rewind to the start of this season that was, you kind of just jumped into the deep end, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, starting 3 weeks late, we kind of had to rearrange our schedule a little bit, get some opponents moved later in the season. But we've had, our first part of our season was really challenging, playing a lot of ranked teams in a short period of time. And I feel like our kids really stepped up to the challenge and we're ready to go.
Ryan Posoda's with us, head coach Pius X, girls action. So we'll have that for you on ESPN Lincoln on Tuesday afternoon. Coach, what can you say about this season's journey? You're to the point where you wanted to be, but what do you remember aside from the wackiness with COVID and everything? But you go back from last year to now, and interested to kind of get your take as the kids kind of focus in on another state run.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of our core players back from last year, starting point guard, a lot of our scoring returned this year. So we were just kind of trying to add some new kids into some different roles into our group, you know, change some things philosophically with what we do offensively and defensively. But our kids are battle tested and are really excited about what's coming up this week. And, you know, the journey's been good. We played quality opponents all season long and our conference was tough. And so, you know, we faced some different things with COVID, as far as just preparation for practices and games, but we've stayed healthy and we've made it through. So that's the important thing.
How much fun is this group to coach?
It's a lot of fun to coach. I mean, sometimes I find myself during games just kind of sitting back, becoming a spectator, because they're so experienced and so explosive that, you know, and they share the basketball so well that it makes them really fun and easy to watch, and they play so free and, you know, just a high-scoring team.
When it comes to that camaraderie, that chemistry, clearly, you've had teams before that have had great chemistry, but just watching the kids, it seems like that it's pretty on point with the same goal in mind, and that's chalk up another W. But that's easier said than done in basketball to have the we, not me mentality. But I think there's a lot of we on your Pius team.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen about every defense you can throw at a team this year and last year with Alexis, and trying to put two and three bodies around her and trying to take our point guard away, and Jillian out of the game. And so we've had kids that have had to step up in different roles depending upon the ball game. And, you know, we found a way to get through. And, again, it's that we mentality. We don't have to have one person score all the points. We just want to share the basketball, and whoever gets it puts it in the basket. So it makes it a lot simpler.
Ryan Posoda is with us. A few more minutes. Pius X is at State Girls 2021 and down at PBA. Pius, again, finding their way to another postseason run. When you look at this team, Coach Posoda, what give me some of the personalities on the team. We get to watch, we get to listen, but just the kids you've been able to coach over the years, and a lot of them are coming to their final run as a group of seniors.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of just really, really good citizens, good students, really dedicated basketball players, a bunch of multi-sport kids that want to be able to help our school be successful on other sports. You know, they're silly and goofy off the court, but I tell you what, when the ball goes up and you step in between the lines, they're as competitive as any group you're going to find, and they have a tremendous will to win.
Give me a little look-see into the goofiness that makes you smile.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not big into TikTok or, you know, Instagram
that
or Snapchat and all that
Coach.
Stuff, but that's what these high school girls are doing these days. And, you know, they're silly and goofy and razzing each other before practice and things like that. And so it's nice to see them being able to be teenagers in an environment where they're safe from COVID and just having fun like normal years.
Coach, some keys for you this last stretch run here for you.
Well, for us to be successful this week, we've got to be good defensively. We can't turn the ball over. probably most importantly, we got to stay out of foul trouble. And then we've got to find a way to hit some outside shots, because we know teams are going to try to take Alexis away. And so we've got to have some kids step up and make some shots throughout the week to have us continue to be successful.
Comment here, Coach Pisota, on Alexis real quick. Just what in your eyes makes her special? Yes, I know the athleticism and the touch, and then the physicality is wonderful. But just as you look at her from coach to player, what kind of separates her and allows her to be so great?
I think just with Alexis, the years of hard work that she's put in to refine her craft, and you know, her hands and her feet are really good for a kid that size. And you know, she's just got a tremendous will to win, and she's become an unbelievable leader and pushes our kids to be better than they can be on a day-to-day basis. But boy, she's the real deal. I mean, she's put up some unbelievable games in the biggest of stages. So I think that's what separates a really talented kid, is how you perform under the bright lights.
Is that something that's evolved, or has that always kind of been there?
I think that's always kind of been there. You know, the last 3 years that I've coached her, you know, you put her on a big stage and she's going to perform at her best. And she's got kids around her that know when it's time to get her the ball and let her do her thing. And so, you know, she affects the game probably more than any kid in both the offensive and defensive ends in Class A that I've seen in a long time.
Ryan Pisota with us, head coach Pius X, back at State again. And Pius, no doubt, will be a focal point of so many basketball fans that get to check things out at PBA. Coach, best to you and your squad. Always fun to spend a few minutes with you. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Schmitty. We appreciate your coverage, and we'll see you later this week.
Coach Pisota, good to hear from him. Pius trying to go back-to-back. We'll check in with Lincoln Southwest girls assistant. How about them Silverhawks? Coach Tim Berta, assistant, up next on Hail Varsity Radio.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Girls State 2021. And welcome in a tremendous assistant with Lincoln Southwest. It's also good around the green. We say hi to Tim Berta back again. Coach, how we been?
I'm doing great, Chris. This time of year, it's hard not to be happy about what's going on. Anytime you get a chance to play in the state tournament and make it special for your kids, it makes you excited as a coach.
Well, absolutely, and a special group of Silverhawks back at State. Not a far trek from 14th and Pine Lake. It's death taxes and Southwest in State. It's what a program you guys have going with the Silverhawks. And Coach, just think back to a year ago. I mean, how crazy is the 365 been?
Well, it's been really bizarre, and we've talked about it this week a little bit as coaches, and even at home and with some of our players, with Emerson from last year. Luckily enough, we were able to finish, you know, the Class A state tournament as normal. And then if you remember, it was in the middle of the next week that things went kind of awry before the boys state tournament and things like that. So we were really lucky in the sense of, from the girls side, of being able to get the tournament in last year as a whole. Things have been really bizarre with the hold on things for the first 3 weeks. And you know, in all honesty, we're really fortunate we were able to let the kids play and have a season at all. And luckily enough for our kids, they've had a really good season on top of it.
Absolutely. Southwest comes in the 4 seed, 19-2. And you've cranked out 15 straight victories. And on the docket is Omaha Central. Let's go back to a few months ago. And what an impressive win just up there off of downtown Omaha. Big time victory for Southwest, the only meeting this year, Coach.
Yeah, we went up there and you know, there's five teams, Chris, really in Class A that separated themselves from everybody else. When you take Pius and Millard South and Fremont and us and Central, and we were talking the other day, those teams combined are 107-9, and eight of those nine losses are to each other. So it's really crazy. But back to what you said, when we went up there, You know, it was a contest that was, predicated on their size and our defensive effort and being able to get some things in transition and get some turnovers. And they were actually ahead about till about the 2 minute mark. We were fortunate enough to get some turnovers in press and make some plays late. But the great thing for us is our kids didn't panic. They weren't worried. We were down 7 with about 2 to go. And we flipped the script, and by the minute 30 mark, we're actually up 1. We're up 51-50. But it was we never saw panic in our kids' eyes. They stayed true to what we do, and you know, luckily enough, they were able to reap the benefit of getting a victory. And it was a really good win for our kids because that kind of catapulted us into what we've done since.
Tim Baird is with us, Lincoln Southwest assistant, Girls State 2021. We'll have Southwest and Central right here on ESPN Lincoln. Coach, tell me about this group of kids, their dedication. They've been around the program, a winning program. It's been paid forward to them. They're paying it forward to the next group of Southwest kids that want to find their way to state. I look at the numbers, and you got just tremendous balance on the roster, don't you?
Yeah, we really do. You know, we're fortunate because we've played 11, 12 kids for most of the year and 10 right now. But it's one of those things where the kids are very unselfish. They don't care who scores the points. They're happy with making the assist to have their buddy score. And then in turn, defensively, they thrive off of each other in being able to defend and it's kind of fun for the kids because our goal is to make life miserable for the opponent, and they really enjoy being able to do that because they know we have that every night we go play. We don't know how we're going to shoot the ball. We don't know how we're going to function offensively every night, but we know that our effort and the defensive mindset is always something that's going to be with us, and they've really bought into that and been able to do it. You know, we got a handful. We have 7 senior kids that do a ton for us, 5 that play on a regular basis that have been in the state tournament, have played multiple games at the state tournament, know the routine of the state tournament. So they'll take and they'll help our younger kids really lead through this. And then on top of that, you know, we got a great mix of junior kids and sophomore kids that do things. And then you throw a freshman point guard into the mix, and knowing we have some older kids that have been there. And luckily enough for the freshman point guard that we have, Kennedy Williams, she's probably taken more shots at Pinnacle Bank than any of our kids have, just being a kid and being around mom's program. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be nothing new for her either. So we're excited about the kids that we have and the fact that they've been there and been through it, that hopefully that alleviates any nerves or anything like that, and they can just go and enjoy the atmosphere and really how special the state tournament is. I think sometimes it gets lost. You go 5 years in a row and all of a sudden I don't know if the kids really realize how big of a deal it is to go, and we do that and we talk about it and we do some things, and our parents have been great about making it special for our kids every year that we go down there and do some special things for them. But just getting our kids to understand how lucky they are. You know, our senior kids have played every year they've been in our program. It's just bizarre to think about how many times they've played there. So hopefully when it's time to cross the line and actually play the game, it's just another game. The bright light shouldn't be a big deal for them.
The poise factor is what you're touching on, and it sounds like there's a lot of that in the locker room.
There is. They don't. Our kids really haven't, knock on wood, haven't been rattled a lot this year. Things don't always go perfect for us, but they know that there's enough kids that can do enough things. We don't have a kid that averages 10 points a game, and we're perfectly fine with that. We have a number of kids that could go and get you 15 or 20 a night, but it kind of, they take what comes to them, and they're not selfish about it, and they share the basketball, and they play team defense. So they're really happy winning games. not really worried about who scores the points to get us the win.
Tim Beretta, longtime assistant Lincoln Southwest, as the Silverhawks going for another championship, and they are the 4 seed. We'll have coverage of Southwest and Central tomorrow afternoon on ESPN Lincoln, and Tim Beretta kind enough to be with us. Coach, we'll see you soon, and thanks for jumping on with us.
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks for having us, and thanks for putting the game on. It's a big deal for girls basketball to be on the radio and be noticed. We appreciate it.
Two good ones there. Love chatting with Coach Pasota. Love chatting with Coach Tim Beretta and Southwest and Pius and East and Norris and, of course, Malcolm, your area teams. Willie J, Will Wilson will be on the call tonight. Pius and East boys for the district final. So, been meaning to get to this, and we've just had a couple of coaches' interviews we chatted with, and this is just heart-wrenching and heartbreaking news. And if you're inclined to do so, please, when you hit a knee tonight, prayers to the Hoffman family. As Team Jack announcing that co-founder Andy Hoffman passed away this morning. Andy, a fearless leader who loved his family with all his heart. And Andy, we love you. We promise to honor your legacy by fighting harder than ever for kids.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time again, thoughts and prayers and condolences to the Hoffman family. Eddie Hoffman passing away today, as he did so much for the fight against pediatric brain cancer. Team Jack, a lot of us were in the stadium with Jack's touchdown run and what a father did for his son, and then so many other little boys and girls in the state of Nebraska and around the country to advocate, fundraise, direct research for those battling cancer, and Andy passing away today. So peace and healing to their family. Want to tell you about buckling up. That's so important to do for you and your loved ones. 70% of people in fatal crashes. In Nebraska, not wearing a seatbelt, if used properly, a seatbelt can reduce the risk of injury by up to 60%. Your best defense in any crash, buckling up. Brought to you by the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. And there's been a lot of times we've been able to interview people over the years. We've done radio on Hail Varsity. And when it comes to passion and direction and just being stand up and conviction and committed to a cause, there's the sit downs we've had over the years with Andy Hoffman that is always going to make me smile and think about a man that meant what he said and said what he meant when it comes to just his passion and caring, and you know, just heart-wrenching for the Hoffman family, and for Andy to battle like he did. God bless him, for sure, for sure. Tomorrow we are at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Two games tomorrow. We'll have Pius and Millard North. We'll have Southwest and Central. Those get tipped off 1:30 and 4. So no Hail Varsity Radio tomorrow. We'll be back at it Wednesday. Scheduled to have a sit-down with Coach Osborne for Wednesday, which will be good. And excited to get his take on things. That day-by-day film, the documentary of the 90s Huskers, is incredible and is still being put together. Can't wait to see that thing when it's finally done. And I remember seeing the sneak preview with some of the folks, a part of the documentary out in Boulder, out in Colorado, before the Nebraska-Colorado game back in 19, was out there with Cousin Dino watching that. You have the Alumni Cap Award that's going to be presented Wednesday down at Best of Big Red by Josh Davis. Josh, standout player for Nebraska in the early 2000s. His dad, Tough Tony, an incredible running back, and Coach Osborne will be honored. So we'll have a chance to get caught up with Coach Osborne, get to his take on the award, his take on football. Maybe we'll ask him the quarterback question that we were chatting with Coach McBride about. Great stuff today from Coach Pisota and Coach Berta, Charlie McBride, Jay Moore, and a fun chat on Husker hoops and football and the quarterback ratings from the 2000. Get the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. Back at you on Wednesday with Hail Varsity. We're presented by the Nebraska Lottery.